You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
Well, thank you so much for being here this morning. You know, I'm excited for what God is doing in and through the Gateway Church. And thank you for joining us online. Say hey in the comments. We'd love to connect with you. I've titled today my sermon, What is Leading You? You know, habits are often something that leads us. I think we all have habits. Habits are defined as a regular tendency or practice. And the way you find the definition of that is you just Google it, the habits definition, and you'll find it there. You can find anything on Google, just saying. But some of the habits, I want to just describe to you some of the habits I have. One of the habits I have is I like to CrossFit. I like to work out, and it's a lot of fun. Some of you may say, well, Pastor Sean, that's a hobby. And for me, it has to become a habit because of me. Like, look how big I am, you know? Like, it has to be a habit. I'm just kidding. But I love doing it. I don't always enjoy it, but I do it because I want to live a longer life. I also am a coffee drinker. How many coffee drinkers do we have in here? Okay, awesome. I love that. Same as first service. I also, one habit I have is brushing my teeth. Come on, can everyone say an amen to that? How many of you guys forgot to brush your teeth this morning? Just kidding. Oh, we had one. Awesome. Yes, I do that often as well. I just didn't do it this morning. Another habit I have, though, is I love going to the same food place. So I find a place that I love, or we find a place that we love, and I often just will go there over and over and over again, and it's so great. So you'll find me more Arturo's over Taco Bell. Can I get an amen on that one? My wife did not say amen because she'd be the other way around. She'd be like, find me at Taco Bell over Arturo's. And so, but I think this, that Jesus modeled some habits for us. When you read throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see Jesus modeling some habits. And one of the habits you'll see, or a few habits you'll see, is prayer and fasting. But the habit I want to look at this morning is the habit of being led by the Spirit. I think we all have things that are leading us, and I want you to be challenged when you walk outside of this door today to be led by the Spirit. I think it's easy to be led by the Spirit when we're in a building and we're praising God together. I often say to the kids when we're going to camp that it's easy to worship at camp because that's what everybody's doing, but when no one is doing that, are you still being led by the Spirit? It's simple. It's even like the gym. It's easy for me to, when I'm at the gym, to work out, but what's harder is that drive there, right? And so, just like outside the church, we have to have good habits and that help us be Spirit-led. I think being Spirit-led is so important. I believe this is something that we should have in a regular practice, and here's why. And I think Jesus really gave us the example of two different reasons. One, Jesus was led by the Spirit, and if he was led by the Spirit, how much more should we be led by the Spirit? And secondly, Jesus relied on the power of the Spirit. And let's look at it in Luke 4, 1 through 2. Just to give you some context, this was after Jesus was water baptized. And it said the Spirit descended on him like a dove. It says this, though, in Luke 4. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing at that time and became very hungry. And I will pause right there because it says Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And I think so many times what happens is as in us as Christians, we become followers of Christ and we think that the Spirit is going to give us a vacation. We think the Spirit is going to lead us to we're no longer going to have any more issues when we walk outside of this church. The situations are just going to cease and life becomes easier. And I don't think that's how it is at all. It didn't say in that scripture that Jesus was led by the Spirit and he got a vacation. It said he was led into the wilderness where he battled temptation and things for 40 days. The Spirit was guiding his life, and if we think about it today, ask yourself the question, what is guiding your life? Is it things like social media? Is it things such as politics or sports? You know, I've been here for 3 years now, or almost 3 years now, and the first 2 years of being here at the Gateway Church, I had no idea there were Lions fans. And then this last year, they did so good, you guys all came out, and it was crazy. But what we know about Jesus is the Spirit guided him. And at the end of the 40 days, look what the scripture says. It says in verse 14, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports of him spread quickly throughout the whole region. So today, again, I want you to walk out of your challenge to be led by the Spirit. I understand, though, this isn't something easy. It's a hard thing to do, is to consistently try to be led by the Spirit. And honestly, I do think it's a lifelong journey. I don't think it's just a journey where it's you mark it off the checklist and say, I'm led by the Spirit. I don't think it's like that at all. It's a constant decision of saying, you know what, I'm going to do this today. I'm going to try to do this. And when we walk led by the Spirit, I think it's a game changer. When we try to walk in our own way, I think that's when it creates issues and honestly probably leaves us with more questions of, God, why are you doing this to me? Or questions of, why would you even allow this to me? You know, when I was in Florida once, we were asking people, you know, what do you do in a hurricane? And the hardcore locals of Florida said they actually stay there and they do hurricane parties. And I'm like, I'm gone, you know, like I'd be out of there if it was a Category 5, but they like to do hurricane parties. But I've heard it said before that when you're in the eye of a hurricane, that everything is calm, that everything around you may be chaotic or going crazy, but in the center, everything is calm. And I think when you're led by the Spirit, everything is going to be just a little bit calmer on the inside. That everything around you may be going crazy, but man, you have the peace of God leading you on the inside. People may even ask, how are you getting through something? And it's because you have the Spirit leading you. And why is that? Because I'd say this, that whatever fills you will lead you. And so if anger and jealousy and pride and things fill you, out will come anger, jealousy, and pride, and it will cause everything to be chaotic. But if you allow God's peace and his joy and his love to fill you, that will come out. So some simple habits that will help us be Spirit-led, and I don't think these will be a surprise to you at all if you've been in church for any number of years, but I think it goes beyond this, and I'll explain it. But the simple habits would include daily prayer, daily devotions, and maybe even a weekly fast. But it's really just the habit of consistently putting him first. But the question isn't like, so the question becomes, how can you be Spirit-led beyond spiritual disciplines? Because I could stand up here all day and talk about spiritual disciplines and we can go into them. But I think it kind of goes beyond that. Like, how do you make a tough decision at work after you've done prayer and fasting and relying on God? Or how can you make a better decision as a leader, or maybe become a better parent or a better friend or a coworker? And I think the question we want to answer is, how can we be Spirit-led beyond spiritual disciplines? And I think what happens in Acts 16 is it gives us a great model to follow. Now, I will say this, you can simply read God's word and you could find different, see different moments where people were spiritually led. And I would say this is just a moment that Paul had in scripture where he was being led by the Spirit. And so let's take a look. In 16, 1 through 5, it says, Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. So Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. In deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left, for everyone knew that his father was Greek. And then they went to town, instructing the believers to follow the decisions made by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they grew larger every day. So my first thought into being Spirit-led is it's going to happen through relationships. You see here that through relationships that the church was strengthened and their faith grew. One of the ways we can be Spirit-led, though, is through the people that we hang out with. It's relationships to me, and I think really are just so important. And we can be Spirit-led through them. We need other people. God uses relationships in our life. We see that Paul needed Timothy, and Timothy needed Paul. And I'm not just talking about surface-level relationships where you don't ever go deep at all or never talk about anything or never talk about anything, really. But I'm talking about relationships that really sharpen each other, really challenge each other, really encourage one another. I love what Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1, and he's really writing this to encourage Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy 1:3, he says, "Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that was first filled with your grandmother and then your mother. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." I love the encouragement in that passage. It's the same type of encouragement we should have with one another in relationships. Relationships aren't meant to tear each other down, but God uses relationships for us to be Spirit-led. When you say you don't need other people in your life, I think you're really going to be cutting out some of the ways God will lead you. We need to surround ourselves with people who care about God and care about you. Some of my closest friendships I have are mentors and friendships of people who've challenged me in my life. Actually, I have a message thread pinned in my thread of just people through college, and mentors are in that same group text of people who challenged me in my life. I love what John Maxwell said. There's two quotes I'll read just briefly. He said, "We all need someone to help us in our pursuit of intentional growth, and the right mentor that helps you take massive leaps forward." He also said, "One of the greatest values of mentors is the ability to see ahead what others cannot see and to help navigate a course to their destination." Those are huge. And just like when we put in our phone GPS of routing to go to wherever you want to go, it helps guide you. I think that's what relationships can do in our life. That's why I think being plugged into a church is so important, because you form relationships that are vital in your life when you come, spiritually speaking. Being plugged in can help take massive leaps forward in your life. Having a mentor can help you intentionally grow and be challenged. I know we have a mentor program right here at the Gateway Church, and it's been awesome. I talked to somebody recently, and they're almost done with their program, and they were saying, "I don't want this program to end for me, because it's been so good for them." You see, Paul had heard of Timothy because he was well thought of. He wanted Timothy to join him on his journey because he knew that he would be challenged with Timothy. He knew that would be great, and he knew that Timothy would help him be spiritually led. So having the right relationships and spiritual guidance in your life will help you be Spirit-led. I think it will help you with decision-making, help you be better parents, be better leaders. But let's continue reading in Acts 16. In verse 6, it says, "Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because of the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at the time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas." And I'll pause right there, because another thought into being Spirit-led is inward promptings. Two times in this passage, it says that the Holy Spirit prevented them from going to a certain area. And you can see the Holy Spirit led their life. One commentary put it this way, and I love it, that the Holy Spirit gave them ample warning to change their plans. Paul followed the direction of the Spirit. I think many of us in this room could probably point back to a moment where we had an inward prompting before, and we either followed that inward prompting or we didn't, good or bad. But what I don't want you to walk away with this morning is we should only follow our inward promptings and that's it. I think that would be extremely difficult. You know, I'm getting ready to go to youth camp. I think it's like 2.5 weeks from today. It's going to be awesome. And just a praise report for you guys to know, we are sending over 80 students and kids and leaders to camp, which is super cool. I mean, we're taking a school bus. That'll be fun. Maybe it'll be like the magic school bus. We'll fly, you know, just kidding. We'll sing "The Wheels on the Bus Keep Going Around." But camp is a really cool experience, but it's a common joke, but it's actually happened. So, like, it's a joke that really happened, that during services, their services are great. Most of the time you can really sense the Holy Spirit. Like I said, when you're all in the one place and you're all pursuing the same thing, it becomes really easy to sense something. And so often, though, what happens at camps is a boy will be praying, and he gets this great idea from what he feels like is the Holy Spirit. And he'll go up to a girl, and he'll say, "Hey, I've been praying. I'm really feeling this. You're going to be my wife. Give me your number. I'll call you. Maybe." Just kidding. But that will happen. Micah, don't do that. Just kidding. Sometimes, let's be honest, some inward promptings that you get are not always for that moment. And you should probably hold on to that, especially if you're a sixth grader. And so, but look what Paul says in Ephesians 17. He says, "Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." Some versions say, "Don't be foolish." The word can be translated as, "Don't be ignorant, don't be silly, don't be senseless." Sometimes we think this is what God wants to do, but we don't actually think about it, and we just go and do it. Sometimes we understand what God wants to do, but yet we're foolish and we don't follow it. We need to understand inward promptings, that God may be showing us something, but you got to discern what that is. Paul, what you need to understand is Paul's journey was planned out. He didn't just start walking and say, "I'm going to go here and here and here. This is what's going on." He knew where he wanted to go. He wasn't just walking and following God's Spirit blindly. He had a plan. However, when he was following through on his plan, he was open to however the Spirit was going to lead him. It was this incredible example of a combination of planning and being Spirit-led. So when you have inward promptings, I would say have a plan. Have the right people around you. Have those relationships. Have that pastor. Have that mentor. Have that friend that you trust. Or have that relationship that goes beyond the surface where you've talked to this person about stuff before to help you discern what is this inward prompting that I'm feeling. You see, Paul had people around him. Paul wasn't following inward promptings blindly. He had people around him. All throughout the scripture, it says we. It was them together making a decision to go forward. Secondly, I would say use discernment. Is the inward prompting that you're receiving an immediate action, or is it something you can sit on? If it's something that is scripturally clear, then I would say follow it. I mean, let's be real. If God tells you to go tell someone about Jesus, you don't need to sit there and say, I don't know if I should do that. No, that's something scripturally clear. You should go and tell people about Jesus and share the good news. We have good news to give. Share the good news. If it's praying for the person, pray for the person. Maybe ask the question, is it biblical? Pray about that inward prompting. I mean, inward promptings happen. We just got to know what to do with them when they happen. And I think they can help guide us and lead us spiritually speaking and help us be led by the Spirit. So we can be led by the Spirit through relationships. We can be led by the Spirit through inward promptings that go beyond just spiritual disciplines. And the last thought I have for you to be spiritual led is through visions. I think there's no doubt that some of us in this room have had moments of where you've had a calling from God, or you've had a vision from God that you haven't seen come about yet, or maybe you're just sitting on it and you haven't really told anyone about it. I love what it says, and as we continue the scripture, it says that night Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Again, that was a vision that he felt like he had. But what you see in verse 10 is, so we decided. So he had this vision. Then they decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. I mean, if I was Paul at this moment, and maybe you've had this moment as well, you have this plan, you know where you're wanting to go, and that doesn't work out. So the Holy Spirit stops you from going there. Oh, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to have this plan. Oh, I can't do that. The Holy Spirit stopped me. God, what do you want me to do? If this plan isn't working out, God, what are you having me do? You switch your directions all of a sudden because you get the same feeling. What do you want me to do, God? You know, when I was right out of high school, I was pursuing youth ministry, and my first year out of high school, I planned on going to CBC, and so all the way up to August, I was like a week away from leaving. I get the report of what I was going to owe for college, and I said, nah, I'm not doing that. And so I decided, you know, this wasn't the moment for me. And I'll tell you, there was counsel that went into that decision. I didn't want to sign the dotted line for a loan to make that decision, which I guess I eventually did anyway. That year, it was me asking God, do you still want me to do this calling that I feel like you're calling me to do? And sure enough, a year later, it worked out, but it worked out in a better way than it would have worked out if I would have first went to college. And it reminds me, too, of I've been riding my bike recently, and I'll put on my watch. It's an app, and what it does is it allows me to just track my workout or track my bike ride. And I don't really, when Renissa and I ride bikes, we don't really have a destination in mind. We're just out there riding, and we'll get maybe 3 or 4 miles out, and we turn around. Anyways, what I do when I get back home is I load it up to my phone and I see the bigger picture of everywhere I went. And what vision allows us to do is when we ask God, help me, and we try to be spirit-led, vision allows us to see the bigger picture. Vision allows us to see, listen, if I would have had the bigger picture when I first started youth ministry, it would have scared me. But later in life, you get the bigger picture of what God is doing. Vision helps us understand God's will and where His Spirit is leading us. When we understand what God wants us to do, it helps us be Spirit-led. Why? Because we're making decisions with God in mind. Anytime you make a big decision in life, I want you to say, ask yourself the question, are you making this decision with God in mind? Are you putting Him first in this decision? I think vision helps us get there. Paul gets this vision of a man in Macedonia saying, hey, come help us. One commentary said visions were recognized as divine communication. God's communicating and we must listen. Paul and his companions interpreted this vision as a divine calling to take the gospel to Macedonia. Because of their obedience and being spirit-led, it led to someone knowing Christ. You see, the bigger picture in this case was this, that Paul got a no here, Paul got a no here, he got a yes here, so he went and someone came to know Jesus. That's incredible. Worship team, you can go ahead and come up. So my question, when it comes to vision and being spirit-led, is has God asked you to do something that you haven't done yet? That's part of being spirit-led, following through on what God shows you. You know, maybe it's something like unforgiveness. Maybe you need to go up to the person and forgive them because you felt like you've had this inward prompting of like, hey, I need to forgive this person, and yet you've still not done it because you're waiting for them to forgive you. Maybe it's an unforgiveness thing. Maybe it's simply just following through on the last thing God told you to say and doing it. One of my mentors said something once that just stuck with me, and I kind of say it all the time, I feel like. But if you haven't heard God speak in a while, go back to the last thing he told you and obey what he said. It helps you continually recognize God's voice in your life. You know, when it comes to vision and being spirit-led and God asking you to do something maybe you haven't done yet, maybe it's stepping out of your comfort zone and saying, you know what, it's time for me to get plugged in to doing something, maybe here at the Gateway Church. You know, maybe you are in the room and maybe you're older in the room and you feel like you've done your time. Listen, God's still got a purpose for you. You're still on this earth for a reason, and God wants to use you. Has God asked you to do something that you haven't done yet? But you may say, even Pastor Sean, you don't understand. It's incredibly hard for me to be spirit-led. I have this situation going on in my life. I have this schedule. I have this temptation, or I have this. I may struggle listening, or you struggle with having somebody helping you. You may struggle with prioritizing him. You know, I don't understand. I may not understand every situation that's represented here in this room, but just like Jesus, Paul, and Timothy, and other people you read about in the Bible, God has given you access to all the power you need to do everything that he deserves. So again, I go back to this. Whatever fills you leads you. So let's be so full of the Holy Spirit that he leads us every step of the way. So you can go ahead and stand with me this morning. The last question I have for you before we jump into this song of worship, and this is really a culmination of this whole sermon, is what's in the way of you being spirit-led? What's in the way? What's stopping you? What is it that you can pinpoint in your life right now that is stopping you from being led by the Spirit? Is it such things as social media? Maybe it's to stay off it. Is it such things as politics? Maybe we don't need to idolize it. Is it, for me, is it ourself? Is our own self stopping us from being Spirit-led? I would say for me, that's most of the cases. My prayer that I constantly have to battle is, God, I want less of me and more of you. And I think if we can do that as a church, but if we can do that individually, you constantly wake up in the morning, God, I want less of me and more of you. I think that will help us be spirit-led. Having the right relationships, the mentors, the pastors, following inward promptings, but having a plan. Then also just trusting that he's there with us and that he can fill us and following the visions that he has for us. So what I want to do is in this moment of worship, they're going to sing a song. And sometimes what happens is movement helps us have a different mind towards things. Sometimes movement helps us not distract ourselves either. And so I'm going to encourage you during the song of worship to come up to the altar and say, God, would you fill me? Or maybe for some of us in this room, it would be, God, would you fill me again? I want your Spirit to lead me. And when his Spirit leads us, when we walk out of here, let's be Spirit-led. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you. God, I pray in the next few moments, God, that your Holy Spirit would just sweep this room, Lord, that you'd fill us. God, that you'd help us be Spirit-led, and maybe it's a big work decision, maybe it's just parent life, maybe it's just as we lead co-workers or just our friends, God, I pray you'd help us be Spirit-led, challenge us. And God, I pray even this, that you'd remind us of what your voice looks like. God, there's some in this room who haven't heard your voice in a long time, and they desire to hear your voice. God, would you speak to them? God, remove distractions in their life that is prohibiting that. God, I pray you to overwhelm us with your presence in the next few moments. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's move, fill the altars, and go after God together.
Before I pray, that one line, the evidence is all around. Maybe sometimes we need to look around. That's part of the reason we come here on Sunday mornings, is maybe you don't have the faith in you, but coming around and worshiping next to someone who has that faith brings that faith up in you. And just know, if you're looking for a miracle, if you're needing a miracle, if you're needing the Lord's to touch, or if you need him just to speak to you again, just look around. And maybe you need to lean on someone in a moment. Maybe you need to hear a testimony, or maybe some of us need to just share our stories once again. But I just want to encourage you. The evidence is all around us that God is good, that God is here. Maybe it's in your life, in your past, that you need to be reminded of, or maybe it's in the story of someone you're standing right next to. So I want to encourage you to be led this week to share your story, to share how God is moving. Or maybe even if you're needing that faith in yourself, to maybe ask someone next to you as well, man, what has God done in your life? Or what is he doing in your life now? And just be surprised with what God is doing. Whenever I think of the evidence being all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here, I mentioned it at the start of service that my dad passed away about 2 weeks ago. He had a heart attack. And he had a heart attack about 18 years ago. And I remember in that moment, I was expecting him to pass away. But I knew that God was with me and he was going to see me through it. And so the miracle in my life is that I had another 18 years with my dad. And I could look back and be like, man, what a sucky couple of weeks. What a tragedy that has happened. But really, what I need to be is thankful for the years that I had after that. And so don't lose perspective, like Pastor Sean said. See God in the big picture. And I just want to pray for us as we go, that you would be able to see God's hand working in you and through you and around you, that you might touch the lives of those who you come in contact with as you leave this place. Jesus, we just thank you that you are good, that you are great. And maybe some of us are facing a storm right now, and we pray that your Spirit, that your dove of peace would be upon us, that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us, that you would remind us of how you've been faithful in the past so that you can lead us moving forward, that you bring people around us, community around us to remind us that the evidence is all around us, that you have been good time and time again, that you have answered prayers time and time again, that you've been faithful in the past, and so you'll be faithful moving forward. And so we lean on that, Lord. And Lord, we need your discernment. Lord, that maybe you've said no at a couple crossroads. Maybe you've closed a couple doors because the right door is just ahead. Lord, and so we strive, we persevere. Lord, just like Pastor Sean said, it's a lot easier to work out when you're at the gym than when you're going to the gym. And Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, it's easy to feel your presence, to trust you when we're here, but the same presence of God that's in this place is with us when we go to work, is with us when we go out to lunch, is with us as we're at home. So we pray that, Lord, we would just be aware of your presence, that we would be led by your Spirit in those moments as well. Lord, and we know that we are leaving this place and we are entering a storm, that there are people all around us that are facing hardship, that are facing trials, that are hurting, that are broken, that need the presence of God. And just as there is peace in the eye of the storm, let us be those people of peace, not being stirred by the chaos around us, but disrupting the chaos with your love, with your grace, with your peace, and with your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who sends us, that chooses us. Let us be people who are full of your Spirit, changing the atmosphere of everyone we come in contact with. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. Man, God's Spirit is so sweet. Amen. Man, go in the grace of God. Go out as God's ambassadors to the world, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.